Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
To the rebellious people of Israel, God said, "Stand in the way and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and there you'll find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. In a world where so many people put their emotion and what they think and what they feel above what the Bible says, oh, how we need to go back to the Bible and learn what God wants us to do in matters of religion. Jeremiah cried out in Jeremiah 10 verse 23, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." We can't figure out our own way to heaven. What we feel or what we think doesn't take the place and cannot take the place of what God says in the Bible. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Oh, how we need to be a people of the book. People who love the Word of God, and people who did as those in Berea in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were true to the will of God. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And thus, Christians must have the mindset and the attitude of, let's go back to the Bible, let's forget about what religious leaders are saying today, let's forget about what's popular, let's go back to the Bible and do what God says so that we can know that we're right with Him. What is it that we need to go back to the Bible for? How can we please God by going back to the Bible? Welcome to our study of Back to the Bible. Today we're going to discuss some areas that each individual Christian needs to think about going back to the Bible for so that we can make sure that we're right with God. First and foremost, we need to go back to the Bible for authority. If there is one problem in religion today that would take care of so much of the problems that exist, so much of the troubles that exist, it's the correct understanding of the authority of God and the Bible. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says it so simply, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." What does it mean to do something in the name of Jesus? Does that mean I just throw my hands up in the air and say, "In the name of Jesus," and that's okay? Not according to Acts chapter 4, verse 7. Peter is placed on trial, he and John, and they are asked by what name or by what authority. Acts chapter 4, verse 7, "You've done these things." And thus, to do something by someone's name means that you do it by their authority. We're to do everything, whether in word, what we say, or action, what we do, it's got to have God's stamp of approval, the authority of Jesus Christ behind it. You see, Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus clearly said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he said, "You go make disciples of all nations." If Jesus has all authority, then very simply, that means that I have no authority. I must look to Christ and to His ideas, His teaching, so that I can make sure that I'm right with God. I love the words of 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Oh, how I wish people could indelibly etch this in their minds. The Bible says we're not to go beyond that which is written. Paul said, "I've figuratively transferred some things to myself and Apollos, that for our sakes you may learn, that for your sakes you may learn not to think beyond what is written." Wouldn't that be a great principle for people to apply today? How do we need to approach the Bible, go back to the Bible for authority? Don't think beyond what is written. And oh, how that would cover a multitude of problems today. Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 clearly says that we're not to add to His word, lest He rebuke us. Proverbs 30, verse 6, we're not to take away from His word, lest the condemnations found inside the Scripture fall upon us. As Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, we're to hold fast to sound doctrine. We're to only teach that which is true to the Word of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. What God has spoken, that's what we must speak and we must believe so that we can make sure we're right with God. there are two very powerful questions asked in Scripture that help us get the mentality of going back to the Bible for authority. The first is asked by an evil king in Jeremiah 37, verse 17. An evil king asked, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Oh, how people need that mindset today. If I'm going to please God, I've got to ask, what has God said on the matter? How does God feel about it? What does He think is right? And then as Paul repeated those sentiments in Romans 4, verse 3, what does the Scripture say? Friends, those are the questions that are important and questions each of us need to be thinking about. It doesn't matter. Listen carefully. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my mom or my dad or what some religious leader somewhere said or done. All that matters is there any word from the Lord? How does God feel on the matter? And so as we think about going back to the Bible, first and foremost, we've got to go back to the Bible and realize it is the only book we have for matters of authority, and we must not go beyond the teaching of God in the Scripture. Secondly, we need to go back to the Bible for worship. So many people are doing things today that you just don't find in the Bible. Things that may be popular in our culture, but things that you don't read of in Scripture. Is that right with God? Well, not according to what we've just learned about Bible authority. We've got to worship God correctly. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. If we're going to please God, we've got to have the right spirit, the right attitude, the right heart, the right mentality. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11, we're to sing with the spirit and with the understanding. We're to have our mind and our heart engaged. But notice that last part. We've got to worship God in spirit and in truth. How do you worship God in truth? You know, we might ask the question that Pilate did in John chapter 18, verses 36 through 38. What is truth? And the answer is clarion in Scripture. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 160, the entirety of God's Word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." It is the truth which sets us free. John chapter 8, verse 32. We've got to buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23 and verse 23. And so when we think about worshiping God in truth, friends, we've got to worship God as He has told us to in the Bible. Too many people have the wrong idea about worship. They think that they are there to be entertained. They are there to be made to feel good, and worship is all about them. That's not correct. Worship is about pleasing God. Worship is about giving Him the honor and the glory. And friends, when God tells us how to do that, the only way I can really praise Him is to do it the way in which God has told us. You see examples in the Scripture of people who did not please God with their worship. Probably one of the most famous is found in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. The Scripture there says that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and offered profane, one version says unauthorized fire before the Lord, listen, which He had not commanded them, and fire rained down from heaven and consumed them. What did these two young priests do wrong? They offered unauthorized fire to God, listen, which He had not commanded. When we do that which God does not command, when we do that which is not authorized in the Bible in our worship, we're no different than Nadab and Abihu. We've got to make sure that God has told us to worship the way He wants us to, the way that we're doing. Now, here's some of the ways in which we do worship God correctly. Christians worship the Lord today in their assembly by partaking of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, they came on the first day of the week to break bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 teaches us that we worship God by giving on the first day of every week. We worship God by singing in the way that He has told us. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, as well as Colossians 3:16, teaches us that we sing and make melody in our heart unto the Lord. God's not authorized mechanical instruments of music. You don't find that in the New Testament, which is our guide today. God has told us to sing and make melody in our heart, to sing with the spirit and the understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 11. Preaching the word of God gives God glory and honor. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. We also know that prayer is a way that we can honor and glorify the name of God. We're to pray in a way that is acceptable. We're to pray in the way that God has told us to, as 1 Timothy 2 teaches. Men are to pray everywhere, and thus we must follow the pattern God has laid out for us concerning prayer. But we also know as Christians that not only do prayer, singing, giving, and preaching of the word glorify God, but when we teach and when we exhort one another, we also should use that time to encourage and to lift up those who have fallen by the wayside and those who are not doing what God wants them to do. Another way in which we need to go back to the Bible is concerning the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go back to the Bible to see what God says about the church, and especially how one enters the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our next lesson, we're going to talk a little bit more about the nature and the unique nature of the church, unique style of the church. But today, let's consider for just a few moments, how does one get into the Lord's church? It's not a hard plan. You find it very simply in the Bible. In Acts chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says, many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. The plan of salvation is so simple in Scripture. The Bible teaches that you must first hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Once I hear, I understand that the Bible is God's Word, and I recognize its authority, then I must believe Jesus is the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will surely die in your sins. Once I have believed in Jesus, I then must be willing to repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I've got to have a change of mind, a changed will that leads to a changed way of life. A person also must confess the name of Jesus before men. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart, the mind, one believes unto righteousness, and notice, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I've got to confess. I've got to do as they did in Acts chapter 8, as the Ethiopian eunuch did. I've got to say, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But it doesn't end there. A person must be baptized for the remission of sins to become a Christian. Peter made it so clear. When they asked him, what must we do to be saved? Acts chapter 16, 31, Acts 2, verse 36, Peter responded, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is essential to salvation. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Friend, we hope that today's lesson will encourage you to want to go back to the Bible. And may each of us have the mindset of Paul in Romans 4, verse 3, what does the Scripture say?